Welcome back to the Unraveled podcast. My name is Nina.
And my name is Elena. So I know in the past we've done like some cool stories about just our crazy experiences and our crazy stories in real estate. So I figured it'd be cool to do another one. Mm-hmm. I actually thought of some stories that I haven't told on here before that I thought would be pretty cool. The first one is, this one's actually pretty recent. Like I think this happened back in like November. And I had a client that was closing on a house, and I like to get there like an hour early because I want to set up and set up for the gift and make it all pretty, whatever, whatever. And I got there and the door was locked. Like, so that I obviously tried the key wasn't working, tried the back door wasn't working. It was like somebody locked the doors from the inside. I don't know, but
was
neither
it new construction or resale?
No, it was a resale. Like it, okay. Someone had flipped it, resale, whatever. But we got in fine for the initial showing, got in fine for the inspection. So it was just really strange that we just could not get in for the final walkthrough. Mm-hmm. And my client, obviously, I was there an hour earlier than my client because I was trying to do the walkthrough, set up for her gift and all of that kind of stuff. So I call the agent and I'm like, hey, the door's locked. I can't get in. And he's like, that's weird. No one's been there. And the inspector was there and that was fine. I was like, yeah, that's really strange. So I said, like, do you want me to call a locksmith? Like, what do you want me to do? Mm-hmm. He said, you can call a locksmith. That's fine. So call the locksmith. He couldn't even get in. Like we tried. Oh, let me back up some. When I had tried the key in the front door, like it was so hard to get in. The key broke in half. Like, oh, wow. And I wasn't even putting like that much pressure on it. Mm-hmm. So that's how difficult it was to get in. Called the locksmith. He couldn't get in. So we were at the point where he was like having to like put pressure on the door and almost like break it down to get in. So we finally got in. Come to find out, someone had locked on the back door, at least someone had locked the like little sliding latch on the back door. So we couldn't get in that way, even though the door was unlocked because all the knobs were turning. It was just someone locked the back thing, so we couldn't get in. And honestly, I didn't even remember that being there. And then later on, he also tried the front door to figure out what's going on with the front door. And the front door was just like jammed a little bit or something. It was weird. So it really needed a new deadbolt. And that's why we couldn't get in the front door. So how strange, literally both doors, we could not get in. No windows were open. Like we literally could not get in this house. Mm-hmm. So I called the agent. So he approved me to get the locksmith and out there. They agreed to pay for it. Mm-hmm. And then I call him. I'm like, hey, the locksmith had to break the door down to get in. And he's like, we didn't give you permission to do that. And I was like, you gave me permission to call a locksmith. And the locksmith, I didn't break the door down. The locksmith had to break the door down to get in. Mm-hmm. So that was your consent and allowing us to do what it took to open the property. And y'all can add in the comments if you disagree or agree. That's my mindset.
Now, when you say like break down the door, did they like bust the door in or they
he
just
did
kind
have
of
to
remove
bust the door in to get in because that latch was locked at the top. So it cracked the door a little bit. Mm-hmm. There was a little bit of damage.
But I mean, the buyer is buying the house.
Yeah.
So it's not going to be the seller's problem anymore, hopefully.
Well, we weren't closing for another few hours. So this is what I did. I called him. I said, hey, the locksmith had to break down the door to get in because it was so like we couldn't get in.
Yeah.
And you guys are entitled to give us access to the property until we close. Yep. Like that's literally what the contract says. Like you have to give us access and we couldn't get in. So he had to break down the door. And I was like, my client wants y'all to fix the door. Mm-hmm. And that's when it became messy. He was like, we're not fixing the door. I didn't tell y'all to break it down. Da, 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 da. But you gave me permission to get a locksmith out here and the locksmith had to break it down to get the door open. So how are you going to tell me that
and
it's not your, like
a seller has to give the property to the buyer when they close in the same condition that the buyer offered on the property.
Correct.
So when the buyer first looked at the property and made an offer when under contract.
It was accessible. Doors weren't broken.
If there's any changes to that property, and, you know, obviously we're not attorneys, but these are just things you learn through doing as much business as we do.
Right.
A seller, by law, is required to transfer the property to the buyer in the same condition that the buyer offered on it.
Correct.
So, okay, so then what happened?
So it became my fault. Even the locksmith was like, because I had it on, I'm always on the phone on speaker, and the locksmith was like, that's BS. Like, that's straight BS. Because you would not have been able to get in this home. Mm-hmm. And the listing agent was like, well, if that was the case, you should have called us and we would have had somebody come out. Sir, we're closing in less than an hour and a half. The initially you had said, let me see if my seller can get out here, and he couldn't, which is why we called the locksmith. And the closing's an hour away from here. So what do you mean you would have had the owner come out and fix it? He wouldn't have had time to. And honestly, we wouldn't have been able to close if we didn't have a locksmith come out because we don't have time to reschedule. Like, I have other stuff to do today. My client has other stuff today. She already has movers lined up, but like that wouldn't even been an option. So he wanted to argue with me about it. And I just said, you know, we're not closing. And he said, okay, that's fine. So I already spoke with my client and I said, hey, I'm going to tell him that's what we're doing. Let me call his bluff and see if he's going to call me back to say that they'll fix it.
Yeah.
So he's blowing up my phone. Hey, are we still closing? What are we doing? I'm not responding. No response. Because I want them to sit in fear.
And also, technically, it is the listing agent's responsibility to make sure you have access to the property.
I'm telling you. Okay. So I was like, I'm going to let them sweat a little bit. So he probably texted me like 5 times in the last 30, 45 minutes when we should have been heading to closing attorney's office. And I'm just not responding to him because I want you to sit and sweat a little bit to see if you're going to change your mind.
Yeah.
So finally my client was like, let's just, whatever, we'll do it, whatever. And I was like, you know what? I'll fix the door. Don't worry about it. So you can close because, you know, it's minimal, whatever. And I'm like, the door's probably going to cost $500 a place, whatever. So I was like, let's just do it. And so we're done, showed up to closing, just got it done and signed the paperwork and I fixed the door. And the door actually ended up costing me $75. So it wasn't even that much. It was literally just needed some wood filler and then some paint over it. So it wasn't even that bad. But I was just like, what the heck? Your responsibility is to give us access before closing. We agreed to have a locksmith come out and now it's my fault because the door broke because the locksmith had to break the door to get in.
Was the agent far away?
This was in Atlanta. So I don't know where the agent lived.
Well, see, it may not be this scenario, but it sounds like it is that the agent listed a property far away from where they lived. So they're not able to make sure that there's access. They're not able to get you into the property if you need to. And then somehow it's your fault.
I know. Mind you, I live far away too. I drove almost an hour and 15 minutes to get here early to ensure everything was ready to go and set up my client's gift and get ready for closing for her to come. But she didn't even get to come because she was because it was an hour for her, either an hour that way or an hour to closing.
Yeah.
So I'm like, so I had to FaceTime her and I was like, you know what? Just go ahead and head to closing. I'll be a little late. I'll be behind you.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'll just fix it afterwards. But it just was a mess, but we closed, we're done. She was happy. Door got fixed afterwards. So we're good. But I just thought it was just so messy for him to not even.
I mean, to not care, to not have
yes.
due diligence. I mean, you're literally, the whole point of hiring an agent is so that they can make your life easier, whether you're a buyer or a seller, to facilitate the process of trading a home, buying and selling. And that's why it's so important because you could hire an agent and pay them a lot of money and they just do not care. They will not put in the effort. They will not show up. Or you could hire someone like you who will go the extra mile for the client. So,
yeah. And I was like, at the end of the day, it's not even the buyer's fault that she couldn't gain access. So I was like, whatever, I'll pay for it, get it done. As long as she's happy, I'm happy, we're good.
Yeah.
And then I had another crazy story that happened, which I don't even think I told you about.
Okay.
This probably happened maybe like 3 or 4 years ago. And I was like, this is crazy. I haven't told this story.
Okay.
I had a client. This was the first scam buyer I ever dealt with. So it was like very fresh on me, very new. And I had a client, I had showed her, this is also back in the day when I didn't really ask for pre-qualification letters before I showed houses. And this is back in the day. I was showing them a lot of houses in this specific neighborhood in Jefferson. I can't remember the name of it. It's a very popular neighborhood. You know what I'm talking about? It's huge. They have a bunch of new construction houses in there, but they also have like houses that aren't new construction in there.
I'm not sure.
Traditions of Braselton.
Okay, Traditions.
That's what it is. So I was showing them a bunch of houses in the Traditions of Braselton. And we probably had been working together for maybe 3 or 4 months at this point. At that point, I did ask them for a pre-qualification letter, maybe after like the second month or so. So they gave me one from Georgia United. Great, looked fine. We made an offer on a house later on, and I went to go pick up the check from her. She had me pick it up at her salon that was in downtown Athens because she worked at the salon. So I went to go pick up the check from her. And at the time, the based on the terms of the offer, my real estate brokerage was holding it. The company that I worked with at the time was holding the check. My broker calls me like five to seven days later and said that the check bounced back.
Okay.
So mind you, these people seemed very, very normal. They'd been married for years. They had several kids, like no red flags. Mm-hmm. Yes, correct. And so she was like, oh, I'm so sorry. I think I wrote it out of the wrong account that was closed or da, 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 da. I was like, no problem. She was very much like she had like that very Southern, like, mm-hmm.
Like you thought it was an honest mistake.
Yes, correct. Mm-hmm. So I didn't think anything of it. I was like, okay, cool. Perfect. So I went to go pick up another check from her and that one bounced back 14 days later. Oh. Before that one bounced back, I was getting suspicions because like I had emailed the lender that she had on her file and the lender was like, we don't have this file. And I was like, what do you mean? She's like, well, I'm not working with this buyer. I've never even heard of her before. And I was like, that's weird. So then I start, this is in between the first check bounce and the second check bounce.
Okay.
So I was like, this is really weird. So I started getting really suspicious. Mm-hmm. And I'd reach out to the buyer. And I'm like, hey, the lender said she doesn't know you and she's never worked with you before. She doesn't even have your file. And she was like, that's weird. And, but she didn't really have anything to back that's weird. Mm-hmm. So I call the lender at this point and I'm like, hey, like, and she's like, I don't like her file's not even with our bank at all. Mm. It's not even with another lender at our bank. It's just not even here. And I was like, okay, so this is not okay. So I immediately call the listing agent. I'm like, hey, I just want to give you a heads up. Like, I don't know what's going on, but, there seems to be an issue with the lender. And the earnest money check bounced back because I have to disclose. Yeah. I have to disclose the earnest money because they asked for proof.
Yeah.
Proof. But out of just courtesy to the other party, I'm like, hey, we're having issues with the financing. I just want to give you a heads up. I don't know where this is going to go, mm-hmm. but I just want to let you know out of respect for your sellers and you mm-hmm. that we're having a little bit of issues. I'll update you as soon as I have something.
Yeah.
So the buyer just all of a sudden starts giving me excuses. Oh, I have... My grandma just died and so she stopped responding to me after the whole lender situation, after the mm-hmm. second check bounced. So I cannot get a hold of her. Then it's like, oh, I'm sorry. I had someone pass away and I've been dealing with this other stuff. Da, 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 da. I'm like, hey, that's fine. I understand that. If we need to terminate this contract and, you know, and come back and look at houses later, that's fine. But we cannot allow the seller is selling their home and moving halfway across the country. We cannot allow them to be sitting here like a sitting duck, yeah. waiting for us to make a decision and get them the information that they need to determine if they can close or not. So I said, you need to let me know if you want to proceed with this contract or not, or if you want to terminate. That's fine. You can terminate and not lose your earnest money. The earnest money that keeps bouncing back, whatever. And then ghosts. She keeps ghosting me. So finally at that point, we didn't even get to terminate. And I felt so bad for the sellers because they had to move across the country. Like they had their things lined up based on their home selling.
Yeah.
And I felt so bad for them because she was not responding to me. So in that situation, the only thing you can do is wait for the contract to end because yeah. you can't get the buyer to sign a mutual termination. You can't get them mm-hmm. to sign a termination. So you just have to wait for the contract to end.
Yeah.
And that's what we had to do. We had to wait a full four, I think it was 45 days for the contract to end for them to be mm-hmm. able to put it back on the market and get another buyer. Like, and that, to me, that is just so selfish on the mm-hmm. buyer's part.
Yeah.
So ghosted me, whatever, whatever. So I was still due a commission because I still facilitated the deal and the buyer's the one that defaulted. Yeah. It's very rare that I ever sue a client, but I was going to go sue her because mm-hmm. you wasted my time.
Yeah.
You were very disrespectful to the sellers and not mm-hmm. even disrespectful to everyone in the transaction because you didn't even respond. You yeah. could have terminated this a lot sooner and not wasted everybody's time, but mm-hmm. you sat there and made us wait it out for 45 days for you to still not respond. So I was like, I'm going to go sue you.
Mm-hmm.
So I was speaking to my attorney about it. She was like, well, let's find out if they even have money.
Yeah.
So she's like, she gave me her private investigator's contact information. Mm-hmm. So I reached out to him. He ran bank statements, everything on these people. And they were literally scammers, literal scammers.
Yeah.
So I was able to call them. And so I also sent them before the contract even, I think it was either before the contract ended or maybe it was after the contract ended, I sent them a document just saying, hey, I'm releasing you from your contract. I'm no longer representing you anymore. Da, 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 da. Mm-hmm. Before I made the decision to try to go sue them. And so I called the listing agent after all of this happened. And I was like, hey, just so you know, these are like, they were scammers.
Yeah.
That is why this did not go through. Like, I had the private investigator do his little digging, and that's mm-hmm. what happened, just to give him a little peace of mind.
Yeah.
Because also, I don't want to ruin my representation as an agent with other agents because I bought a buyer that's a scammer or something yeah. crazy. Because mm-hmm. I do, even now more so, I do try to vet as much as I can to not waste mm-hmm. anyone's time.
Yeah.
My client's time, my time, the other party's time, because yeah. everybody's time is valuable. Mm-hmm. And, but anyway, so he did his little digging, and they had a hefty rep sheet. Like, I'm talking arrest for scamming, bounce back checks. Wow. Like they had so hefty.
Lots of fraud.
Yeah. Yeah. And at that point I was talking to my attorney about it, and she was like, you know what? It's not even worth pursuing it, because if anything, they could just have a lien. They would get a lien, or it'd be on their credit or whatever, that they owe me my mm-hmm. commission. But like, I would never get paid.
Yeah.
And it's not even worth the attorney's fees to pursue that. But mm-hmm. it was worth the investigation. It was worth yeah. paying the private investigator to find all this out before I spent the money doing that. So, yeah.
So, I mean, this is a great example. I'm sorry that happened to you, but this is a great example. If you're a consumer or a buyer, please don't get offended or upset when, as an agent or as a realtor, we ask for proof of funds, or we ask for a pre-approval letter. Because there are so many people that try to scam and waste your time all the time. And so not only is it just my time that I'm considering, but also the other agent, the seller or the buyer or whoever it is.
Agreed.
And your reputation is important. So it's not that we don't trust you as a person. It's just that
we don't know you.
That's the thing.
And our safety is that we're running mm-hmm. out to meet you, some random stranger. When you think about it this way, we're running out to meet some random stranger at a property who mm-hmm. isn't pre-qualified, has not shown any true commitment to buying a house. Just, oh, hey, I want to see this house. Can you show it to me? No, mm-hmm. I can't. Are you pre-qualified? Are you already working with an agent? Like, tell mm-hmm. me a little bit more about what exactly. the goal is here. Mm-hmm. And I even last year, I was like, you know what? I'm going to do a test. I'm going to see how many buyers that I do not vet that actually end up closing or even calling me back. Mm-hmm. And I did it in only one, like maybe one out of the 10 that were not pre-qualified, that I didn't really vet, actually ended up closing.
Mm-hmm.
And all the other ones did not close. And even with that one that closed, I vetted them. I usually vet them, ask them questions on the appointment if I don't vet them before I meet them. And that one that actually closed, I still did some hefty vetting in that appointment that I knew I wasn't that worried about. But everyone else, they do not call you back. And they waste their time. People just want to go and look at houses, but I'm like, I'm not in the business of in the business of just showing houses. I'm in the business mm-hmm. of representation, and I show you houses as well, but that's not all we do.
No.
And I'm not going to be that agent that you call, hey, I want to go look at a property. No, I need to vet yeah. you first.
Yeah. Well, I have two short stories. They're probably not as crazy as that, but one is a buyer, one is a seller, and it's kind of like a cautionary tale in a way. So the first was a client that I'd listed their house for. I had worked with them to help purchase the house initially years ago, and they had called me because they needed to sell and move. And this is where, to be honest with you, I think their expectations were unreasonable as far as timeline. This is what I want some home sellers to understand. So we listed, I did a 6-month contract, and normally I get property sold well within that time frame. But you know, all the typical things, video, pictures, all the marketing, open houses, we had lots of showings and things like that, but they were more wanting to control each situation. So they had cameras in their house, which we did disclose to people going in, and they would text me if we get a showing, oh, they're 2 minutes late. How come they only spent 6 minutes in the house? How come they only went in this room?
That's a lot.
And I understand that the process of selling a home can be stressful, but at the same time, the listing agent cannot control how long a showing takes or does not take, whether they want to make an offer or not, because you can't control every single person. And so I think they became more frustrated that their house was maybe not selling as quickly as they wanted to. Now, keep in mind, it wasn't even on the market for 50 days. And so in the scope of what the market's doing right now, that's just average days on market. And we ended up parting ways because they were upset with the fact that people were only looking at the property for a short time. Different things.
That you did not have control over.
No, I did not have control over. And they were on kind of a tight schedule with their family situation. And so those things played into it as well. But, you know, if you're a home seller, please understand that the agent you're working with, especially if you're, you know, the listing agent, they cannot control if someone shows up to a showing. There are times where someone schedules a showing and they don't even show up. Happens all
I've
happened, the time.
I've been that, unfortunately, before, and I've had it happen vice versa.
And so having some understanding. Now, of course, if your agent doesn't use professional photography, doesn't do marketing, those basic things, and obviously you can be upset, but there's certain things that are outside the listing agent's control.
Right.
And then the second story is in regards to a buyer. And to be honest with you, I don't know if we're working together or not at this point because they've ghosted me. This buyer came as a referral from another agent in Atlanta. Great agent. He and I send each other referrals and communicated with this buyer, showed them property, and there was one new construction community that he basically said, let's write an offer. So got, you know, sent him my best lender. The lender spoke with him, the lender's team, getting him pre-approved. There's a couple different options. So I go home to write the offer. Ghost. So I'm communicating.
And I'm assuming they're pre-qualified. You've already shown them multiple times.
So this is where the listing agent, it's a new construction home. And there's only a couple left in that community. And for the plan that we wanted, there was only one left. So she said, look, they were very gracious and said, we'll hold it out for you. So finally he got back to me and just said, oh, so I don't want to move forward signing an offer tonight. I want my parents to see it on Friday, which was almost a whole week later. So I said, well, I can ask the listing agent, but it may not still be available at that point. So we worked out an arrangement to her. They said, okay, we could go under contract with the option to terminate on Friday if your parents don't approve.
Did you write that in as a special stipulations on a new construction?
Correct.
Okay, that makes sense.
So the listing agent is doing a bunch of work. I'm doing a bunch of work. And then all of a sudden, the buyer again just ghosts. No response. Text, email, phone call, nothing. No responding to the lender. And then I get a text that says, if I'm interested in any home, I'll let you know.
Like that's, in my opinion, that's just so disrespectful.
And
so disrespectful.
You know, I see property come on the market here and there that I think would fit what they're looking for. And I send it to them. No response. Completely ghosted. And I don't know if they're watching this or listening to this. Because like I said, I don't know if we're working together at this point, but the bottom line is if you don't want to buy a piece of property, that's 100% fine. If you don't want to buy a house, if it's not the right time, all those things are completely normal. But what you don't do is you don't waste someone's time, waste the lender's time, waste the realtor's time. Say you're going to make an offer and then ghost and then be disrespectful in your communication as if I'm trying to force you to buy a house. Mm-hmm. You're the one that said, let's write an offer. So if you're a buyer, just think about that, you know, because it takes people's time and time is money. So
agreed.
We may have an agreed update to the story and, you know, he might end up buying something, but at this point I have no idea. I'm just going to send him property as it comes up. But I mean, if someone doesn't want to work with me, I don't want to work with them either.
Mm-hmm.
It's no harm, no foul, but communication is key.
Agreed. And I have one more similar story to that, that I'll share. I had a client, this is fairly recent as well. This happened in December, right after Christmas. I had a client, we had been looking, before we started looking at houses, I had asked her to get pre-qualified and she was already pre-qualified through USDA.
Mm-hmm.
She sent me a pre-qualification letter that I had never seen before. And I had worked with so many USDA buyers and I was like, this doesn't seem legit.
Yeah.
And the other thing is too, I could not get a hold of USDA on the phone. I called the number on the document, couldn't get a hold of anyone, Googled it. Like it seemed like a legit fake document. Mm-hmm. And I begged this buyer. I was like, please get pre-qualified through one of my lenders, da 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 da. And she just did not want to go through the process.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, she decided to get a pre-approved through one of my lenders and she only got pre-qualified for $100,000 less than the amount that USDA pre-qualified her for, which is another concern for me. I understand USDA is going to be, has different terms. And the USDA rate that she was getting was like 4 point something, which I hadn't seen since like 2018. So it was just all very sketchy.
Mm-hmm.
So, finally I send the, that document that she gave me to some of my lenders. And I was like, hey, have you ever seen this before? One out of three of the lenders all told me, no, I've never seen this before.
Mm-hmm.
One of them said, oh, I'm familiar with this. And I was like, okay, that was enough for me to be like, okay, this is legit. I just can't get a hold of USDA. So eventually I spent like probably 2 or 3 hours trying to call, get someone on the phone at USDA, finally got a hold of someone. The lady that was on her document was away from, like, she was gone from being sick or something, so she wasn't reachable. So they transferred my client's file to someone else. So I felt a little more relieved. Okay, perfect. Like, I've got someone legit on the phone that we can correspond with and work with. Because I also told my buyer, like, that's great you're pre-qualified through USDA, but what good is it if I can't get anyone on the phone?
Yeah.
We can make an offer on a home. We can go under contract, but if there's no one to push your file, then there's no point. So we've got to get a hold of someone. Eventually I did. We were good. Whatever. Fast forward, we go under contract. And there's an issue. We find out halfway through her loan that there's some kind of issue that USDA didn't catch earlier. Mm. So, which basically broke the entire deal. Mm. So I told my client's in tears. She's frustrated. She's crying. She was like, I really wanted this home. We have been looking for probably 4 months at this point. So we've been working together for a while. And she's just devastated. So I said, hey, like, don't get too upset yet. Why don't we call one of my different lenders and see maybe if he can pre-qualify you for the same amount and we can get this thing going again. And so she was like, okay, sounds good. I'm also in the Caribbean, like, laying at a beach, and I'm having this phone call with her.
Yeah.
So I thought we had an understanding. We were good. After that, I never heard anything from her. Mm-hmm. I called her later on that day after I left the beach, and I was like, hey, did you reach out to my lender? No response. I reached out to my lender. Hey, did my client reach out to you? No response. So I'm trying to get a hold of her for a week at this point. And it's coming up on the date that her financing contingency ends, which means she will lose her $3,500 in earnest money if we do not terminate within that time frame, because she was in grounds to be able to terminate and keep her earnest money.
Yeah.
So I'm blowing up her phone. I'm calling her. I'm texting her. I'm emailing her. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, hey, you're going to lose your earnest money if you do not respond to me and we send in a termination before this date.
Yeah.
No response. And I said, finally, I was like, you know what? I'm not going to reach out to you anymore. If you're busy for the holidays or whatever, that's fine. I'm not going to reach out to you anymore. This is the situation. You have until this date to let me know if you're going to terminate or not, or you will lose your earnest money.
Yeah.
No response. So finally, the day after the deadline for her to keep her earnest money, I reached out again. I said, hey, you've already lost your earnest money at this point. We need to send a termination to the seller so they can put their home back on the market, because it's unfair for us and it's disrespectful for us to have them sitting around and waiting. It's already been a week at this point that you're not responding to me, for us to be sitting there holding up from them to be able to sell their home because you're not being responsive.
Yeah.
Finally, she responded, terminate. That's it. One word, terminate. And I was like, no problem. Send her the paperwork. I just said no problem.
Sent that and then kept her $3,500.
I don't understand. I truly do not understand that, because if you responded to me just yesterday, the day before, you would have still been getting your $3,500 check back, but she didn't. So I was like, you know what? Whatever. I don't even care. Like, I'm already pissed off at this point because you were disrespectful and wasting my time and everyone else's time by being unresponsive when you could have said that same word a week ago, but you didn't. So I'm already fed up at this point. So I don't even care. So I'm just like, no problem. Sent her a termination for our agreement. I was like, I'm done. Cause I don't even want to work with you anyways anymore. If this is how you act, I have no desire to want to work with you either.
Yeah.
So, but it was just a mess. Like, I just truly don't understand people's lack of respect for other people's time and effort. Like, people, I feel like so many people do not care. And at the end of the day, this is our job.
Yeah.
And it would be more considerate for you just to say and communicate what's going on, so that way we can get through whatever the issue is or terminate. So we're not wasting everyone's time.
Like, I understand, because when I was younger, I was more scared of conflict, right? And so if you're a buyer or seller that doesn't want to move forward, I can understand why you might be nervous to communicate that to your agent. But it's even worse to ghost. Like, if I could pick one pet peeve in this industry, is people that ghost.
Agreed.
They think that we're trying to force them to buy or sell. We are not. Respectfully, we don't need your business that badly. Correct. But at the same time, on a basic human level, please just communicate one way or another. Because if you waste my time for months and months and months, or weeks and weeks, and then just ghost me, do you think I'm ever going to help you again?
Agreed.
No.
But they don't care. They don't see it that way.
So in 2025, I'm not taking on clients like that.
Agreed. Agreed. Agreed.
Well, I think that wraps up our time for today.
Yes.
Thank you for watching and for listening. We will release a new episode every Wednesday where you listen to podcasts or social media. Leave us a comment if you have any questions or if anything crazy like this has ever happened to you. Thanks for watching.